Save big money on everything for your next project at Menards. Spring is here, making it the perfect time for outdoor projects. Suncast storage sheds are an excellent solution for protecting outdoor lawn and gardening tools. They're easy to assemble, and the all-weather construction provides water resistance and UV protection. Save big on Suncast storage sheds. View our selection of Suncast products today in-store and on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Today on Lightning Bugs.
So Lee calls me on her way home and she says, you know, tells me about, we've got the song started. We cannot finish it. I thought of you. I've been thinking of you for a long time. And my instinct is like, here we go again. Somebody needing me to step in and
put your stamp on it.
And I was really forthright and I said, you know, I will listen to this. But I'll let you know right away if I feel like I can contribute or not. If it feels like you're trying to, you know, be some kind of martyr or doing something, whatever, I'm not going to touch it. Like, if it doesn't feel authentic. I listened and my eyes softened, my eyebrows were lowered.
I love that.
And it felt authentic.
I kind of assumed it was almost like a conversation pass around song, and that she had created this first verse, and then your entrance sounds exactly like just a, it's just honest.
Yes. It felt like I was responding. I was being invited not to serve the food, but to sit right at the table, you know, and eat the same meal. Those lyrics came out of me in 20 minutes.
Hi, if you're enjoying listening to Lightning Bugs, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It helps a lot. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Lightning Bugs. Today, we have the wonderful vocalist and songwriter, Ruby Amanfu. She's co-written a lot of the great songs like Hard Place by the artist Her, H-E-R, and the Grammy-nominated song Heaven's My Home with Katie Herzig. She's released 9 critically acclaimed solo albums, and her latest single, Good Trouble, with Lee Nash, was released in February of this year. Be sure to check that out. Ruby's additional collaborations expand to artists including Brandi Carlile, Sarah Bareilles, Hozier, Norah Jones, John Prine, and Jack White. And me. We had a very insightful, fun conversation. I love Ruby. I hope you enjoy it. Here she is, Ruby Amanfu. When I was a kid, there were political songs. Now, it's not that there are none. It's just it's not on the main landscape as much.
Yeah. It's true that current songwriters are writing less activism songs. And if I think about it, if I think about the 60s and the 70s, when I feel like the heaviest concentration of those songs existed, right? Or when were being created. The stuff they were saying in those songs still applies.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Well, it's a point of comfort though too. I mean, and if even if it's not comfort, it's also armor. It's like putting on armor, you know, where I think about like we you know, technically with all time running together, I feel like we just had the holidays of Christmas and all this stuff, and I feel like we go back to so many of the same songs that, you know, are familiar to us or become a blanket of comfort in those times, you know?
And we all go back to what we feel like are the classics. And you can't argue with a classic after it begins to just transcend, you know, time, and it continues to win even with all the new competition. But if someone wants to dedicate a love song, if they do that anymore, there are new songs for that.
Right.
There are new songs for all the different ways to back that ass up. There's new songs for all the ways that you can dance and everything. So why not why aren't we writing this? And you are, I mean, like, and they're class too. And I wanted to ask you about some of them. I mean, Good Trouble, great song.
Well, gosh, thank you.
Talk a little bit about that and how it was written and what yours and Lee's.
Whatever it is that we do, I find that we end up living in somewhat of a, you know, we're a cult, or it's a cult following, you know, and also activism is too, because so many people just want to live in that, whatever that world is, that they don't have to really focus on that or speak to it.
You think that that's the artists that don't feel like speaking about it, or you think that there's actually not a demand for it, or if it's just fear of splitting your audience in an obvious half?
Well, I mean, the stories I've heard from artist friends who haven't spoken up, it's the fear of losing fans. It's because it's not just fans, it's livelihood, it's rent, it's, you know, car payments.
And that's, I think that's a fair empathetic point.
Yes, it absolutely is, you know. And so with myself and Lee, you know, and she's really forthright about speaking about this. So Lee Nash, I knew her music when, you know, when I was coming up. I mean, we're close in age, but she had, you know, achieved and made it long before I did.
Yeah, Sixpence was really, really big stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I was like, gosh, I haven't ever studied Lee's music. I happen to know Lee as a human being, you know, as is often in Nashville. Like, you know the human before you even know their work. And most of the time, you know, you don't even know their work. You know the human.
Yeah.
So I knew the human. And just last week, this is long after we made, you know, the song, we made two music videos, we've done interviews, and I'm like, let me check out her work, you know?
I love that. Are you ever offended? Like, because I'm not.
No.
I almost prefer my friends don't know my catalog.
Yeah.
Oh, don't you feel that way?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Because
people will apologize. They'll say, I'm so sorry, I don't know all your stuff. I'm like, no.
No.
Please.
Right. Yeah.
It's quite all right.
No, it's better. It's better because, yeah. So to that end, I looked up her work and I said, oh, wow. You know, anyway. So all that to say, she has a lot of right-wing followers who are very much against the things that are being spoken about right now. She is very forthright about speaking about how she saw all this happening in the world, in the country specifically, and it sickened her, but she was afraid. She was afraid to speak for a really long time. And I'm over here bleeding out of my pores, anger and grief, and that connected with her. And there was a point where I put it out there on my social media, you know, I think it was Instagram first. And I said, and I just like took a black screen and I put white words up there. And I said, if you have said nothing, then I am rethinking our friendship. And it just came out of me. I've never done anything like that. And that day I just began to see droves of friends posting and finally speaking, seeing something, saying something, seeing something, saying something. And I got messages and texts saying that it was a push they needed because a lot of times they didn't know if their voices mattered or if they had, you know, anything that was worth saying.
Well, and not everyone's on social media constantly calling out anything,
yeah,
you know, so it is like, you know,
right.
I post once a blue moon, mm-hmm. check out my new mm-hmm. record,
right.
you know, like,
right.
so.
Right. We're talking about people who are on every day, three times a day, you know, and they know that people are paying attention and they use their platform to promote whatever that is they're promoting. But in that moment, I just said, I couldn't take it anymore because I felt like, I needed help. We needed help. That day that I sent that dug into Lee. And
oh, that's cool.
You know, and it was like, and we're also, you know, I have a little private, you know, Facebook account where I just am like, I bear all and I'm myself to my people. And she and I are friends on that account. And I had reached out one day, and my family wanted to go fishing. Let's just say post George Floyd. Post Ahmaud Arbery, we wanted to go fishing in southern Tennessee, right? In our southern state. And I didn't know where I could go anymore because I always knew and have seen, but thought I can avoid racism. Like I've seen racists. They're everywhere. They're not in hiding, and not here, not in Tennessee. But I've always felt like, I'll just go over here. You know, I'll just move over. Oh, yeah, I mean, it's a radar situation, and I see, and I just, you know, or I'll pull up to a gas station if we're, you know, and I'm like, no, I'll tell my white husband, you go in. I'm going to stand here, you know, and then we're going to go to another place and I can use the bathroom.
Unreal. Yeah.
But I had posted on Facebook, we wanted to go fishing. And I said, is there any place that we can go that my family can feel safe? And my family now is made up of the rainbow. You know, we've got an interracial daughter. We've got two, you know, a white son, white daughter, white husband, myself, you know, a black mother-in-law living with us. You know, it's everything. And so I want everybody to feel safe. I posted that out there, and it was the last thing on earth I wanted to put out there. I was like embarrassed. I was angry that I had to do that. I had to go to my friends, my safe space, and say, guys, I'm scared. Does anybody know of a place we can go and feel safe? And so Lee saw that and responded to that straight away, messaged me. And the one place we were wanting to go, it was where she lived. It was the town she lived in. So fast forward, those were things that started moving the water, right? Started moving the water. And she had gotten together to begin writing a song. Representative John Lewis had passed away. And she had gotten together with a gentleman named Matt Maher. And she felt really led to write about Good Trouble because she had begun to...
It's such a great phrase. I mean, it's such a...
Man.
It's just perfect.
It really is. Good trouble, necessary trouble. And after John Lewis passed away, and this was, you know, Lee had begun to post things on her social media page where she was getting super shit on. You know, she was getting lots of hate from her fan base, but she was, you know, eye to eye, like just coming up against them, like she doesn't care. But it took, like, it just, so it's so funny. It's like she hadn't spoken before, but she, you don't see her as, like, when you see her comment, like all you got to do is scroll through. When you see her comment on these ignorant, you know, commentary, she's bold. So she got together to begin writing Good Trouble and very quickly realized that this was not something that a song that they were going to be able to finish on their own. It was not a song that they were supposed to finish on their own. They needed me. And I've been talking a lot recently about allyship. It's one thing to say, we're going to invite you to the party, the proverbial party. We're going to invite you to the party, but you have to serve the food, or you have to be in the corner doing the song.
Dig into that just a little bit more. I know what you're saying, but I think it's important for people here.
Especially right now, I have been asked to teach a lot of classes on racial sensitivity or whatever we want to call it. It's exhausting because I'm cooking it and I'm serving it up, you know, and I'm being given a menu. It's not like cook what you make what you want. It's like, this is what I want to know about. And this is what I'll get called up and say, this is the scenario. I'm concerned about how to speak to this person, whether it's, I'm concerned about how to speak to this black person, or I'm concerned that I'm affecting, you know, this, or I'm going to offend. And so I have been, okay, all right, let me put my apron on and make this food for you and then bring it to your dinner and set it on your table. But then I'm not even invited to sit there and eat it. It's like, oh, yeah, great, thanks, yummy, thank you so much. So I mean, I relate a lot of things to food and meals, and that's just what I do. But, you know, but that's what it feels like. It feels like for me that they don't even want to know how it relates to me or my story. They just want to know, you know, kind of 101 about etiquette. So,
yeah.
So when Lee was leaving, she'd left the session with Matt, the first co-writing session. And they, you know, they stopped in the middle, they stopped writing the song. And they said, we can't write the second verse. This is not for us to write. So Lee calls me on her way home and she says, you know, tells me about, we've got the song started. We cannot finish it. I thought of you. I've been thinking of you for a long time. And my instinct is like, here we go again. Somebody needing me to step in and
put your stamp on it.
And I was really forthright. And I said, you know, I will listen to this, but I'll let you know right away if I feel like I can contribute or not. If it feels like you're trying to, you know, be some kind of martyr or doing something, whatever, I'm not going to touch it. Like if it doesn't feel authentic. I listened and my eyes softened, my eyebrows were lowered.
I love that.
And it felt authentic.
I kind of assumed it was almost like a conversation pass around song and that she had created this first verse. And then your entrance sounds exactly like just an, it's just honest.
Yes. It felt like I was responding. I was being invited not to serve the food, but to sit right at the table, you know, and eat the same meal. Those lyrics came out of me in 20 minutes.
This question is about creating music with other people. It's been fascinating to be a part of these Patreon sessions where we get to watch you create music out of thin air for lyrics that we give to you during these goofy sessions. If there's ever an idea that you think, I believe I could use that idea for a song. Or if you view your own personal compositions as a completely separate thing.
Well, that's a good question. What she's referring to is on Patreon, which I really kind of took as a full-time job last year. It was a good thing to do in lockdown. It was a good way to connect. One of the programs that I had going was people sending their lyrics, and then I would make some music to it to sort of show how the two go together, how it works, and give us a chance to do something fun. Yes, there's always the question of, is this idea something that I can exploit later on? Is something any artist thinks about? Because ideas are a premium. They're important. The way I think about it, though, is a little bit different. I think that as long as you are generally relaxed, ideas can come through at any time. They might be valid. They might be interesting to sing for that moment. But the ones that I care about are the ones that come along with a thought that expresses something that goes a little deeper. I'm not saying that the lyrics that the patrons sent in weren't deep. It just wasn't my story. I was exercising a muscle. They're the same notes everyone has to work with. I just use a few of them and show how song form works and those things. Nothing about that series of writing songs to people's, nothing I thought, oh, this is something I should keep. The same token, I was actually okay if they took it and ran with what I gave them. I wasn't precious about it. That's the way I have to do it in order to get to the next one. These ideas aren't that precious. What is precious is the thought that comes together that's like, this melody is a vehicle for getting this thought through. And it's almost not possible by design for me to create a melody like that from something someone sent in about their life, you know? But it is a good opportunity to explore how the mechanics of it work. Thanks for your question. It does what a good song should always do, no matter how much time you spend on it. It should sound like it just came out. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that takes, I mean, as you know, it takes years. Mm-hmm. Like really, like you'll sit on something and come back to it and go, oh, that sounds stilted.
Yeah.
That this does have that quality. That's amazing. 20 minutes. So then what's the next step? You just called her up and sang it?
Well, no, I actually took my laptop. I put in the little voice memo she sent me, you know, into my laptop, put it through the speakers, and I took my voice memo on my cell phone. And I sung my verse into the piano, because there was like a verse of just piano chords that was waiting for me. So I was able to sing my vocals into that. And so I sent her the voice memo with a caveat. I said this also because the chorus lyric at the time was, his love is still turning over tables. His love still makes the blinded eyes see. And it referenced God as a he. And I said to her that that was something that I, in order to be a part of it, I would need modified, because I'm not, as much as I believe in higher power, I do not believe, I think it's man-made to say he, you know, and, and so I couldn't rightly own that. And I said, you know, because love, you know, it's like, if you say because love, you know, and when I say the word God, that's what I happen to call my, you know, my personal source. But I like the fact that people can call their personal source anything, the universe, whatever, you know. And so I needed to make sure that that was speaking my truth. And they right away said, absolutely, because I believe in love. You know, I believe that love is a higher source.
You are somebody who is going to do twice, three times as much as you're asked.
True.
It's just what you do.
True.
And it's exhausting.
Yes.
Like I've always been exhausted for you. Mm. You know, like true. I wouldn't have known you back in high school, but I would imagine some personal breakdowns
absolutely.
In high school because people lean on you.
Yes.
I mean, you know,
yes.
And it did occur to me when the, you know, insane summer of 2020 happened, you're the mm-hmm. first person I thought of. I thought mm-hmm. exhausted.
Yes.
Like
yes.
putting your feelings and truth out there, which is your whole life. It's not like, for a lot of people, something happens, you know, it's this summer and people are like, oh shit, this is new. Well, it's not new, you know, and mm-hmm. then it results in a song.
Right, right.
That's, I think, you know, where I'm trying to get
mm-hmm.
in the whole journey of that is that you as an artist mm-hmm. did, and Lee as an artist, did what we're saying people are not doing enough of right now.
Right. Yeah. Well.
And yay.
Well, thanks.
Like seriously, like that's, and it happens to be a really moving and great song.
Well, thanks, Ben. You know, somebody was talking to me recently and said, I'm not ready to do Unity. You know, it's like, you know, good job on the song, but I'm not ready to do Unity. And I said, fair. And guess what? I'm not ready to do Unity, but I think that is, there is a macro view and a micro view. I'm ready to do Unity with Lee Nash. I'm
right.
ready to do the hand across, you know, to one-on-one. If you think of Unity in a macro view, it's, you're never going to be able to reach to that one person. And so I was able to say, okay, Lee, you're authentic in this, and I will stand next to you and across from you and speak this truth. But to that end, it's moment by moment, it's person by person, and I think, you know, in the minute we think, oh, we're gonna change a nation, you know, no, you might as well just go take a nap.
We're in a world right now, in a world where it does seem like because we have access, it would seem to everyone on the planet that you're like, this is unity.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, there's no such thing,
yeah.
really. I mean, yeah. there's, you know, I think unifying behind a basic set of humane, decent principles
mm-hmm.
and all that golden rule stuff. I mean, I heard someone take apart the golden rule philosophically and show why it doesn't work. But, you know, the do unto others thing, that's a pretty good place to start. You know, would you want to have someone do this to you? It's just empathy, just basic 101. But it's hard to have empathy for someone who doesn't have a face, who doesn't have a name, and they're putting something out on the internet that's just angry and toxic. And you're like, I'm going to be unified with a world of people who think like this? I don't think so. But my friend Lee and I can write a song. If I agree with the song,
right.
as much as we think that there's this huge audience out there, we're really creating for a really small audience, aren't we? With a small audience. Who gives a flying, minute fuck what someone that you've never met thinks? Like we do, but ouch, my creativity in that
right,
at
right.
that point. It hurts my spirit
yeah.
to have to worry about that stuff.
That's changing a little, you know, this year has changed a little of that. Again, not a lot, but I have just noticed colleagues changing in that way.
Oh, interesting. Please tell me how.
The thing about hurting the creative ouch, you know, I have seen people move forward in a way that, okay, yes, I'm a musician. Or an actor, I don't only have to talk about music, and I don't only have to deal in verbalizations of theater. I am going to use, you know, recognize that my platform, though right here. Like if I, you know, if I look at my little, you know, my new number of followers, again, it's a small group in terms of the grand scheme of the world.
All groups of followers are small.
Well, that's
even,
interesting.
Even for Elvis. I mean, at the end of the day, there are probably more people that have been born that never heard of
that's true.
Muhammad Ali. I mean, it's just like, anyway, but, right. But I,
well, no,
we need to stop thinking about that.
No,
stuff.
But to that end, it's less of the, what I have been noticing is the artists, public figures have begun to care a little bit less, or maybe they still care, but they're still willing to risk, and still willing to speak the truth. They're still beginning to speak truth. I have absolutely noticed where people who never in a million years would talk about anything civil, political, any of this, they would just like, I'm on social media doing this. Look at me. Look what I'm wearing. And let me show you how to, you know, and it's changed and people are being more bold. And again, I don't want to say that they're not afraid or they don't, you know what I'm saying? They're like, oh, I don't care. I'm going to do it anyway. I think they probably care, but they're willing to risk whatever that uncomfortable feeling is on the inside.
The world is not currently a very nuanced place. And I think that that's also, I would say that contributes to hesitancy to speak out on anything that has been oversimplified.
Very, very good point.
You know, I mean, think about how many times you see on the internet, so-and-so said this. That's mm-hmm. all you need to know. That's not all I need to know about
not.
That person.
No, it's not.
I might need to know that person for 10, 20 years.
Right.
I might need to sit down and have a coffee with them or something.
Man, that's one thing that pisses me off so much is when, somebody says like, this is what I heard, you know, that's all you need to know. I am that human who I'm going to look up 8 different articles and try and find, okay, I never take that. It gets on my nerves when somebody will post something. I'm like, firstly, do you even know, you know, did you speak to somebody in direct relation who was in the room or did you, or, you know, but like they see this thing, you know, on the news, social media, whatever. And it's amazing to me the number of people, and I've had to debunk people and sometimes in public, but sometimes I'm being kind as I am. And I'll just privately send them a message and say, oh, this thing that you posted today, you missed that 4 days ago, that was actually all, you know, so it was revealed that it was something completely different. But most people are, I get it. Most people, there is still a bandwagon thing. And that's what, I think that's what, where we get stuck is like, well, there's a bandwagon thing about lies, you know, non-truths. And then there's a bandwagon thing about, we want the bandwagon thing about justice. You know, it's like,
I mean, at the end of the day, it's like any good art. If it has to be honest and it can't be honest if it's not informed. Mm-hmm. I mean, even just when you talk about a feeling, I mean, if you're going to say, tell someone how you feel, but you don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then you're speaking something you don't know. If it's true, that then you might step across and say, oh, well, the truth is I've always thought this and I've always thought that. And that's where we, you know, like a good artist can honestly weave things together like a good orator.
Yes.
But most people are given a microphone.
Yeah.
The microphone is Twitter and Facebook and stuff like that.
Yes.
And there's not a lot of honesty, art, and nuance in the way they're communicating.
Right.
So it makes it increasingly difficult for someone. I mean, and this is another place that you and Lee really threaded with grace a lot of stuff. It would be, sure, you can put that out in public and probably get crazy criticisms from a lot of points of view. You're not immune to that. But you've done it. You've done it so honestly that I think you can sit back and let them realize over the years that was their own noise.
Right.
They created their own conversation.
Yeah, I've definitely reached that point. And I don't know if it's just the song or, but I feel like it's not. I mean, I definitely reached that point. And honestly, the way that we met and in the context that we met, that's when I first had kind of an opportunity to see ignorance in, you know, in commentary of people who didn't know me and they thought they knew me and they thought they knew what I was about. And that type of stuff toughens you up when you hear critics or people who want to call themselves critics or just human beings who have more to say than they need to say.
Yeah.
You know, the comments and the stuff. I mean, the thick skin does come over time, but you really got to be shit on a lot. You really got to, you know, and I know not everybody is. And I think to that end, if you're staying safe in a cocoon and if you're living in a certain box or bubble, right, you're inside, you're not going to get hit. You're going to, you know, and
that's
so,
right.
But if you live a life where you've been exposed for a lot of years,
yeah,
you're like, okay, you know, so this is part of it. And this is not going to stop me in any way from being truthful and speaking my truth.
New week's resolution.
Well, something I do I do a lot, maybe not every day as I used to when I started doing this thing in 2011. But in 2011, I started saying a mantra in the mirror. I started saying this specific thing in 2011, and I would look in the mirror and I would say, I am destined for greatness and it is unfolding. I'd say it 3 times and I'd move on until I needed to say it again.
That's interesting. Like because I do all of these. So now if that's what we're doing, I have to look in the mirror and say that. So if we're going to modify the exercise, let's make this one an everyday one.
Yeah, that's good. Especially
is it in the morning? Because it's going to take people like, you know, people who laugh at everything. Like I just do it, you know?
Yeah.
So I'll laugh the first 3 times, but maybe by the 5th day, I'll be like, hell yeah, I'm destined for greatness.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I feel like, you know, we're our goofiest in the morning. So why not make it then and get it out, get it out of the system. So
Repeat that for me again. What do we got to say?
Well, but not everybody is destined for greatness.
Well, they said this, everyone's got to do the exercise. So if you want to, if you want to modify this, you're welcome.
Okay. All right.
Maybe we will be destined to greatness.
Can we be destined for authenticity? Because that's what I really want more for folks.
Love it. Okay, great. So what we're going to say is, I feel like I have to write it down, even though it's being recorded.
So
what's our mantra?
I am destined for authenticity. I'm destined for authenticity.
Why not just say, I'm going to be authentic?
Or I am authentic, which is a true mantra, isn't it?
Better.
Okay.
Better.
I am authentic.
Now you're winning.
All right.
I am authentic.
And you said a word a few times in this conversation, which, it just struck me because I believe in it so much and I want so much more for people to be more empathetic. I want us to be more authentic, but I also want us to fold in empathy. I am authentic and I lead with empathy.
This podcast is for everyone who creates.
Mm.
That means that's everybody because I believe everyone's creative.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What I think they need to do is if they're going to have a Facebook page or if they're going to have a Twitter account, be an artist.
Yeah, that's right.
Actually learn the art of poetry.
Yes.
Understand that if you've only got a certain number of characters, you can't write a manual on how to change a tire.
Right.
If you're going to say this is all you need to know about somebody, maybe imply that's all you need to know. And tell us something that we do need to know and say it in a way that's poetic because if it takes, you know, 5,000 words to tell you how to change a tire on a Range Rover and you're using that language.
Yeah.
John Prine could do it in a line.
I still
Marvin
can't hear
Gaye,
his name without.
What's going? Oh, I'm sorry.
No.
Marvin Gaye.
Good.
Marvin Gaye could do it in a line.
Yes.
The fuck is going on? I added a syllable to it.
Yeah.
But really, that's what an artist does.
Yeah.
But all people are artists. And I would nudge people to try to come to the same responsibility and skill level of editing.
Yes.
You edit what's appropriate, but you think honest thoughts,
right?
Does that sound right? Is that holding up to scrutiny?
It resonates. It absolutely resonates. And I think about this now more than ever, you know, because I was allowed to live, you know, basically almost the first 40 years of life. Just, you know, I'm still a mentor for younger, you know, up and coming musicians. And it's always caused me to to be mindful of what I say, because I know that kids are paying attention, and that I have a career where kids pay attention. But now, you know, I am so happily a bonus mother in a way that I now have a 9-year-old, a 15-year-old, and a 17-year-old who are really, truly always listening, you know, in this way. To that end, I also want them to be truthful. I want them to know when to edit and when not to edit. I'm not going to be upset, actually the opposite of upset, if they stub their toe and they say shit. And I'm going to say, yeah, that must have hurt, you know? But I may also say, that is a word that in certain company, you know, you may not want to say that in front of your whatever grandparent, but it's a beautiful word. And sometimes that's the word to use. And sometimes it's not. It depends, you know, like I want that freedom. I mean, I have introduced cuss words to this beautiful family, you know, and I mean to the kids, I'm saying, like, I've just being able to,
you
like,
played them my music. I'm so flattered.
You know, I mean, and just being able to do that and be that. And because we have to be so real, we all say these things. They're saying it with their friends. You know, like, I'm so over the, I refuse to be one of those human beings who lies about the truth. I don't want to do that. Not in my home.
At least as far as I knew last time when I had kids, a child psychologist encouraged you to allow them to lie and make up stories up until a certain age.
Right.
Because it's creative.
Right.
They're making stuff up.
It's creative.
So you're teaching them to be creative.
Yes.
Then you're teaching them to edit.
Yes.
That later.
Right.
Like, okay, well, I made up a scenario. It's a very healthy thing to do. I made up a scenario today that when my boss fired me, I beat the shit out of him. And I'm allowed to think that. I'm allowed to think creatively like that. I'm just, because I'm a grown up, I'm not allowed to run around and tell people that happened. Because it didn't.
Right.
But that's where, like, you know, creativity is a part of everyone's life.
It should be.
It also comes with, you know, responsibility. You learn the craft.
Yeah.
You learn the craft of your creativity, where it's appropriate, where it's not appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes back down again to what you've said about taking people on one at a time. It's the only way to do it in this era. We can speak and people can voyeuristically listen to a conversation and think they know people.
Yes.
And that's, as long as it's taken with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
And the people that we, you know, how many people do you have in your life that you actually want to be face to face with? You have to choose that.
Right.
So I'm writing for those people. And if other people hear it, I'm thrilled because I get paid and I like the possibility that people hear my music and it resonates with them. And that's more a responsibility, right? Because you think, okay, well, you know, someone I don't know might hear that. Maybe, you know, maybe in my old age, I take three of the fucks out of the song.
Okay. No,
that's cool.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll consider that.
Yeah. Okay. Good. But what you said just resonates with me a lot, you know, of the grouping we're writing for.
You know, maybe in makes art such an art when you're putting out a message, you're like, okay, well, I said, I hope he eats shit and fucking dies because that is my true feelings. Okay, now that you said your true feelings, is there a more artistic way to say it?
Right.
And is there a more honest way to say it? Because if the guy actually ate shit and died, maybe you wouldn't feel so good.
Yes, exactly. Now, boop, nail on the head. Friendship can screw up productivity. I feel like if you and I were to get into a room and try to write a song, it depends. But I wonder if we would have the same struggles
there's a rule to my podcast, which is I've got an original song out of every single one of them.
No lies.
That's true. It's true.
Here's
how we do it, because we have to do it now. This is, you've led us straight to this. I'm learning the art of absolutely. So, I mean, how would you do it if you sat down? Like, I know how I've done it, which is I've just gotten people talking.
Something's coming to my mind only because it's been on my mind the entire time. And I'm going to take a selfie of my setup right here. And yeah. I'm going to actually move to the left a little, and you can see an orb, a ring there. And I'm going to move here, yep. and you can see that.
That's your halo.
I can scoot down right there. Mickey Mouse ears.
That's good.
But I have had to be focused on these ring lights, right? These these Amazon ring lights that I've had this entire pandemic, because that's, you know, this has been the reality for over a year. All these lights on me, can't get out.
Sing whatever comes to your mind for "And All These Lights on Me."
And all these lights on me.
And I have to shine.
And all these lights on me. And I have to shine all the time. With all these lights on me, I have to shine all the
time.
And
I like myself.
And I like myself. So
start one from up there.
And I like myself. Do I really?
Keep going.
And I like myself. In the light or in the dark.
And that's a candle in the frame.
It is. You want me to say that?
Sing that, yeah.
And I like myself. Wait. Sorry. Go back. But okay. That's a candle in the frame.
And maybe start it with "and." Every line is going to have "and." The song is going to be called "and."
And that's a candle in the frame. This is an amazing song.
It's so good. I mean, a tear just rolled up out my eye.
Out my eye. Thank you for this, Ben. Seriously.
You look good. Oh, thanks for making time for my little podcast.
Well, thank you for including me.
Rock on, Ruby. I'm on Foo.
I have had to be focused on these ring lights. Even though I have to be present in this conversation, I'm also looking and making sure that I'm not in the dark. It's like, you got to shine. You got to light yourself. That's all I got for you. And go. And that's a candle in the frame. All these lights on me. All the time I have to shine. And only a sick and twisted mind would think it was something else. And I like myself. Do I really? Okay. And I like myself. In the light or in the dark. Yes, I like myself. And I have to shine. I've got these lights on me because I'm expected to shine. If you're staying safe in a cocoon, and if you're living in a certain box or bubble, you're inside. You're not going to get hit. But if you live a life where you've been exposed for a lot of years, you're like, okay, you know, so this is part of it, and this is not going to stop me in any way from being truthful. Even though I'm pixelated, womp womp.
Hi, if you're enjoying listening to Lightning Bugs, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It helps a lot.